Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Aleph. We left off in daf Kuf Amud Beis, five lines from the end of the page. At the end of the line, Amar Le Rav Nachman. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and also by the Snitow, Feinberg, and Walfish families in honor of the art site of Raymond Snitow, Aaron ben Shlomo David, Alav Hashalom, Neshamish Rav Aliyah, and we thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding on the bottom of Kuf Amud Beis. We were in the middle of discussing yesterday how to move water from the ocean to the boat, if you want to draw the water up onto the boat. So we had two opinions, whether you need to be motzi ziz kol shu, just as a hacker, or you need to actually make mechitzos tlios that are makif, an area of dalet tfachim by dalet tfachim, in order to bring the water into the boat. So the Gemara today is going to start with a discussion of how to bring stuff in the other direction, how to drop water back into the ocean, particularly when it comes to wastewater. And the Gemara is going to discuss, what about small, narrow boats that narrow to a point where they don't have four tfachim of width at the bottom? Does that change the calculus in terms of its status of being a Rishos HaYachid versus a Makom Patur or a Carmelis? Then the Gemara is going to get into a conversation about the principle called Gud Achis Mechitza, that if you have a Mechitza Tuluya, you have a Mechitza that's hanging in the air, we view the Mechitza as if it goes straight down. Are there any exceptions to that rule? What if there are Gedi and Bokimbo? What if animals can walk right through where your imaginary mechitzos are supposedly supposed to be blocking off? The Gemara on Amud Beis is going to talk about carrying from one boat to another. The Mishnah had spoken about if you have two boats tied to each other, that you're allowed to carry from one boat to another. So the Gemara is going to talk about carrying from one boat to another. Then the Gemara is going to discuss what kind of tying together do we mean? That the boats have to be connected? How strongly connected do the boats have to be, both in this context as well as in a different context in Hilchos Tumantara, where we also talk about such an inyan of the boat being tied down with something very strong. So let's begin, five lines from the bottom of the page, on Daf Kuf Amud Beis. So again, we are in the middle of the conversation between the two, the machlokas, between the two Amoraim, as far as what you need on the boat in order to be able to draw water from the ocean into the boat, whether you just need this kolshu or you need actual mechitzos that are tlios over the side of the boat. So I'm Nachman Yitzchak l'Rav Chiya Barav and l'Rav Chista l'Rav Aravun Adam Riyasa Makom Arba M'malei. According to Rav Chista, that you need to actually make a Makom of Arba Tzvachim to fill up the water from the ocean. Shovchin didei hechi shadiluhu. How do you throw the waste out of the boat? V'chitei m'dishadiluhu b'osa Makom. Maybe you'll say, what do you mean? What's the big deal? You just made mechitzos. So the same way the mechitzos could be used to draw the water in from the ocean, use those same mechitzos to drop the wastewater out. Says Marmi Isilei. No, that's disgusting. The very same place that you're drawing the water in from that you're going to use as drinking water, you're now going to throw out your waste to that very same place. That would be an absolutely disgusting thing to do. A person would not be able to stomach such a thing. So it has to be in a different spot. You're in a river and the water all gets mixed in right away. Anyway, it's just you're not going to be able to stomach it. You can't view such a thing. It's like the Chafetz Chaim writes in his Hakdama that in the Hakdama it's the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, which is not a Musar Sefer. Sefer Chavetz Chaim is a Halacha Sefer. Shmir Salashin is a Musar Sefer, but not Dhamma to Sefer Chavetz Chaim. He writes that the very same mouth that's going to speak Divrei Torah and speak Divrei Kedusha is also going to be used to speak Lashon Hara. How could it be that a very same place where something so pure is supposed to come out of is also going to have something so impure? It's just, it's incongruous, it doesn't work. So the Gemara says the same thing when it comes to the boats. So says the Gemara, D'shadda Dafna D'sfina. Nah, the way to get rid of the waste is you pour it along the outer wall of the boat, along the side of the boat, and that way it will, on its own, it will go down into the ocean. So you don't have to put it in the ocean, you put it on the boat, and the walls of the boat are part of the Rosh HaSiyachid, so that you're still okay with. And then on its own, it will go down into the ocean. Frakti Gemara v'ha'ika kocho. But wait a second, you know where it's going to go, right? You're familiar with the laws of gravity, so you know that it's going to go into the ocean, so isn't it going al yedei kocho? So it says, kocho b'karmelis lo gazru. When something is indirect, like kocho, they were not gozer in a karmelis. Since it's only a karmelis in the first place, and it's not being motzi from Rosh HaSiyachid to Rosh HaRabim da'araisa, so they were not gozer when you are motzi through kocho only. Umina teimra. And how do I know that that's true? That we're not gozer on kocho in a karmelis? Ditanya, because we have the following discussion. Svina in metaltalin lo mitocha liyam v'lo minayam litocha. You're not allowed to take something from a boat to the yam, nor from the yam to a boat. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Amuka Asara, Vein Gavoa Asara, Metaltel Mitocha Liyam, Avlom in the Yam Litocha. That if the boat is 10 tfachim deep, but it's not elevated 10 tfachim above the surface of the water, so meaning on the inside, the boat goes 10 tfachim down. The walls of the boat are deep enough that the bottom of the boat is 10 tfachim below the outer edge of the walls of the boat. But from the outside perspective, looking at the ocean, since the boat dips a little bit into the ocean, it's less than 10 tfachim above the surface of the ocean. So if you have such a case, you could be metaltel from the Svina into the Yam, but not from the Yam into the Svina. Rashi points out, it dafka has to be that it's Amuka Asara, not Gavoa Asara, that you're not allowed to be metaltel from the Yam into it, but the Svina that's not even Amuka Asara, then the Svina itself would be considered a Carmelis, and you'd be allowed to take from the Yam, which is also Carmelis, into the Svina. And if the Svina was Gavoa Asara, if the Svina was 10 tfachim above the water level, then you'd also be allowed to be metaltel from the Yam Latocha, because the Malamei Asara Tvachim is a Makom Patur, and if the Sfina was more than 10 Tvachim above the ocean level, the only way to get something over into the boat would be by raising it up into a Makom Patur. So that would make it okay. So that's why these dimensions are critical, that it has to be less than 10 Tvachim above the surface of the ocean, but deeper than 10 Tvachim. So the Sfina itself could be a Rishos HaYachid, and when you carry something from the Yam into the Sfina, you do not have to go through a Makom Patur. So says Gemara, Maishna min Yam Tocha Delo. Why is it that we don't allow carrying from the Yam, which is a Carmelis, into the Svina, which is a Rosh HaSiyachid, to come metaltel and make Carmelis a Rosh HaSiyachid, because you're not allowed to be metaltel from a Carmelis to Rosh HaSiyachid? Yeah, but by that same logic, Mitocha Liyam Nami, come metaltel from Rosh HaSiyachid to Carmelis. You're also not allowed to do in the reverse. You're not allowed to take from a Rosh HaSiyachid and put in a Carmelis either. So why is it that Rabbi Yehuda, again, the Rabbanan didn't agree. The Rabbanan held that in metaltel, no Mitocha Liyam, v'lo minayam l'tocha, that it doesn't work in either direction. But Rabbi Yehuda has this unusual chiluk, where he says that there's a difference between carrying to the boat from the ocean, or to the ocean from the boat. So why is it that you're allowed to do mitocha liyam? After all, isn't that mirushos yachal the Carmelis? So says Gemara, elalav achuda. It must be the case that Rabbi Yehuda allows going from the Svina to the Yam, taking something from the Svina and putting it in the Yam, is not where you just throw it directly in the Yam, it's where you run it along the outer edge of the boat, and then it slowly goes into the Yam across the by dripping down the walls of the boat. Ah, Shmamina, Kocho b'Karmelis lo gazu. So you see from there, there were not gozer Kocho and a Karmelis, that the Rabbanan never made such a gzeira. Shmamina, we taka see from there that there's no din of Kocho and a Karmelis. Asks Tosos, wait a second, do we? We see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's no din of a Kocho and a Karmelis. But the very brisa that we're quoting also quotes a shita of the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan don't allow in either direction. So apparently, even al yidei kocha, the Rabbanan don't allow. So the Ri, Tosus quotes the Ri, that the Chamra modet Rabbi Yehuda, that you're allowed to be metaltel from the Svina to the Yam, al yidei kocha. They only disagree by a Svina that's Amuka Asara Tvachim and Gavoa Asara Tvachim, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to be metaltel liyam, even Shalom al yidei kocha, because when you're Magbia Yado above the level of the Svina, it's in a Makom Patur, it's above the level of the Svina, but the Chams would say you're not allowed to do that unless it's al yidei kocho, even though it's going through a makom patur. The Chum would say it's also just like they're not allowed to be metaltel from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashiyachid derech makom patur. So the ikur nekudas hamachlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda is if you're allowed to take something from a Carmelis to Rosh Hashiyachid through a makom patur. That's the whole issue between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. But as far as whether kocho is mutter, that they all agree that kocho the Carmelis lo gazru, that even though kocho would not allow you to carry from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah or vice versa, but in a Carmelis it's not as big a deal. This might play a role in Halacha, because Halacha L'maisa for us, because the Halacha there's Machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, what kind of Carmelis were we not gozer on Kocha? This appears in Siman Shin Nun Zayin in Shulchan Aruch and Siv Gimel. According to the Shulchan Aruch, any Carmelis, there's no gzera of Kocha, like the Gemara says, Kocha b'Carmelis lo gazru. It doesn't matter what the nature of that particular Carmelis is, but the Ramah disagrees. He says, no, Kocha b'Carmelis lo gazru is Carmelis like a yam, or like a river, where you would never confuse that with the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, where it's an obvious obvious Carmelis. That's where they weren't gozer. Or even a Carmelis that's biabasha, but it's outside of the city where no one would ever confuse it with a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim because people are not typically there all the time. You don't have a Pekias Rabbim. But Carmelis that's inside of the city, which could easily be confused with the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And even Bizman Hazeh, where we say we don't really have a Rosh Hashanah Gemura because you don't have Shishim Ribo, but nevertheless, the large cities could easily be confused with the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So that's where we're in such a case, we would even be gozer kocho in a Carmelis. And that diyun may relate to why it is we're allowed to turn on our faucets on Shabbos. Why? What's the issue? Because where's that water coming from? It's coming from outside of whatever Rosh Hashanah Yachid we are currently in, and it's probably coming from a place that is halachically a Carmelis. So the Chazon Ish writes in our Chaim and Simen Kuf Dal Tzif Katan Beis that the pipes that bring the water to our houses you're allowed to use on Shabbos, even if it comes from a Carmelis, because it doesn't have, there's no din of Chorim by a Carmelis. We don't say that Chure Carmelis are like a Carmelis, like we said by Chure Rosh Hashanah Yachid, that if you have a hole in a Rosh Hashanah Yachid or something like that, we don't say that Chure Carmelis are a Carmelis. And therefore the Tzinoros themselves, the pipes themselves that aren't Tfor Tvachim by Tfor Tvachim, have a din of a Makom Ptur, and bringing from a Carmelis to the Tzinoros, and the Tzinoros to the house, that would not involve any Isser. And he says, in Kol Shekein, that it's Mutter because you're not doing it by a daim, you're only doing it by opening the faucet, and that's only Kocho. So Kocho b'Carmelis lo gazru, and that's why you're allowed to open up your faucets on Shabbos. So the Achronim discuss that maybe by opening up the faucet, though, it's going through places that are that are actually in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in a way that you can't be makel that it's a makom p'tur, and how's it mutter? So he says maybe because some of the Achronim suggest that since it's only being done b'derech grama, which is even less than Kocho, and therefore it's not considered a maisa. So if you hold that Kocho, since we hold Kocho b'Karmelis lo gazru, that might be the basis of our entire heter, or part of the basis of our heter, to be able to open up our faucets on Shabbos. But again, you have that machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Is this by every Karmelis, or is this by only particular types of Karmelis that we would say Kocho b'Karmelis lo gazru? Okay, so says the Gemara now. Amar Rav Huna, Hani Bitsiyasa de Meshan. Let's say you have these small boats that were from a place called Meshan, and these boats were very wide on the top, but they were narrow as they got down to the bottom of the boat, to the point that they were so narrow at the bottom they didn't even have 4x4 tvachim. Not only that, even if they're 10 tvachim high, that they didn't have 4x4 tvachim, 4 tvachim of width at the bottom. So ein metaltlin ben ella ba'arba amos. You're only allowed to carry within 4 amos within the boat, because it doesn't have a full status of a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. It has the status of a Carmelis, since the bottom part of the boat, the bottom part of the walls of the boat are not considered a mechitza that's matir betiltel, because it's not being makif, a makom chashuv, it's not being makif, an area that's 4x4 tvachim. The top part of the boat is as if they're just hanging, the walls on the sides of the boat that are on the top, where it widens, are considered as if they're hanging in the air, and a mechitza tliya is not going to be matir tiltel. It's not going to allow the tiltel to happen. That's how Rashi understands this line of the Gemara. Tosos raises the question that just like it's not considered to be Rosh Hashanah Yachid because it doesn't have 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim, we should also say it's not considered a Carmelis for that very same reason, because a Carmelis also needs to be 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim, would have a din of a makom p'tur. So why is it that we're assuming that this is a Carmelis instead of a Rosh Hashanah Yachid? Adraba, we should say that it's not a Carmelis at all if it's not 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim. So Tosfos has an entirely different explanation that he quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel. Not going to get into that right now. To be miyashiv shitas Rashi, the Ritva has two suggestions. The Ritva says, well, the upper part of the boat has a width of 4 tvachim, so the Chacham are not going to be so makel to say that it's considered a makom p'tur just on account of the bottom part of the boat. And then the Ritva quotes his Rebbe, and you find this in the name of the Ra'ah as well, that in other Rishonim, that even if you say that the boat is considered a makom p'tur because it doesn't have four tvachim of width at the bottom, you're still not allowed to be metaltal more than four amos, because the kula that you're allowed to be metaltal more than four amos in a makom p'tur is only, the kula of a makom p'tur rather, is only that you're allowed to carry from makom p'tur to Rosh HaSiyachin or to Rosh HaSarabim, but to be metaltal more than four amos in a makom p'tur is going to be aser. Wow, that's quite a chiddush, that a makom p'tur is not really something that anything goes. It would still have the limitation that you're not allowed to carry more than four amos, just like a Rosh HaSarabim or a Carmelis. It's just that anything goes as far as where you carry from there too. Normally you don't have such a discussion. Normally a makom p'tur, you wouldn't carry four amos within a makom p'tur with an akira and a hanacha. It wouldn't happen. We talk about makom p'tur when it's more than 10 tefachim above the surface of a Rosh HaSarabim. So there is no akira and hanacha over there and carrying four amos. The whole thing is about going through a makom p'tur, where you have tiny areas that are a makom p'tur. We very rarely have such a case, but that's the chiddush of the Rebbeim of the Ritva. So it says Rav Huna, v'lo amaran ela she'en b'pachos mishlosha arba'a, that this whole din is only when within three tefachim of the bottom of the boat, you still don't have a width of four tefachim from one end to the other. That only when you rise above the lowest three tefachim of the boat, only then has it widened out enough that it's four tefachim from side to side. Aval yesh b'pachos mishlosha arba'a leslan ba, but if within three tefachim of the bottom of the boat, it already widens out to a point of four tefachim, then you're allowed to be metaltel in that boat, because less than three tefachim is considered to be lavud, and therefore it's as if the karka, the svina, goes up to that spot where it widens at four tefachim, meaning it's all considered to be one area, so as long as it widens to four tefachim at the point where it's within three tefachim at the bottom of the boat, so it's going to be considered to be connected to the mechitzos that are higher up, and the mechitzos are makif, a makom that's arba'al, arba'at tefachim, and therefore would have full status of a reshus hayachid. V'imalinu kani v'urbini, and if you fill in the very narrow bottom of the boat with reeds or with other things, with leaves, to the point that it's four tefachim wide, so less than, but then the whole din also doesn't apply, because then you've raised the floor of the boat. So now where the new floor is, now that you've filled it in with all this filling, where the new floor is, it's actually four tefachim by four tefachim, and therefore it's certainly going to be a reshus hayachid. So maskef l'Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman challenges Rav Huna, v'lema gurachas mechitzta, why don't we say that the principle of gurachas mechitzta, and we should say that the walls of the boat on the top, where it's very wide, are considered to be as if they go straight down, so even though the boat actually narrows, we should take the top part of the walls and make an imaginary line straight down and say that that's a mechitza. Milo tanya, after all, don't we have this principle of gurachas mechitzta in a different context, that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Do'omer, no atzkana b'Rosh HaSarabim, if you stick a pole that is not 4x4 tefachim, just a pole in a Rosh HaSarabim, but it's more than 10 tefachim high, u'b'rosha traskel, and then you put a basket on top of that pole, and the basket itself is 4x4 tefachim wide, v'zarak v'nach al gabav, and then you throw something and it lands on top of that basket, chayiv, that's considered to be zorek m'Rosh HaSarabim to Rosh HaSayachid, because the basket, the top of that basket is a Rosh HaSayachid. But wait a second, just the basket is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, but that's only a couple of inches. Below that is a pole, a narrow pole, so you don't have 10 tefachim of height with 4 tefachim of width. Alma amrinun gurachas mechitzta. It must be that what we're assuming over here is that since the basket is upside down over that pole, you take the mechitzos of the basket, the walls of the basket, that may only go a few inches, may only go 6, 7, 8 inches, and you view it as if it goes straight down. We make a halacha l'moshe misinai that there's an imaginary wall that extends from that basket. So why don't we say the same thing by the boat? Hachanami nema gurachetz mechitzasa. We say that the mechitzos of the boat, the upper mechitzos of the boat, are viewed as if they go straight down, and therefore you do have mechitzos surrounding the boat, and therefore the boat is Rosh HaSiyachid. So mask Rav Yosef, lo shmielu lahadam Rav Yudam Rav, umatuba mishum Rav Yichia, v'tani Allah, v'chacham potrin. Don't you learn that on the Brisa, Rav Yosef Rav Yudam says that if you throw an object from the Rosh Hashanah to the basket that the Chacham say that you're actually pater, because apparently the basket is not considered Rosh Hashanah. So you see that according to the Chacham, we do not view the walls of the basket as if they go straight down. We do not apply this principle of Gurachas Mechitzah. So the basket is not a Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, by the boat also, we should not consider the boat to be the upper part of the walls of the boat to be viewed as if they go straight down and form a proper mechitza. Amalei Abayi says, "Vatal Tizbro, wait, you're denying the concept, the entire principle, the halacha Moshe Misinai of good achas mechitza." Vatanya, we have a brayse that says explicitly, "Amud Berush Hasarabim." If you have a pillar, a post in a Rosh Hasarabim, gavoa asara v'rachav arba'a, 10 tefachim tall, 4 tefachim wide. But ve'in bi'ikaro arba, at the bottom of the post, it's not 4 tefachim wide. It only widens as it goes up, but at the bottom of the post, it's less than 4 tefachim wide. V'yesh b'kotzer shalo shalosha, and in the narrow area of that pole, it's 3 tefachim. Is a machlokas, Rashi tells us what that means. What do you mean, narrow area of the pole is 3 tefachim? So Rashi writes, it means that it's the height of 3 tefachim, that even if it doesn't narrow out to 4 tefachim until it's more than 3 tefachim off the ground, so you cannot apply the principle of lavud and say that really it is 4 tefachim all the way down. No, it only widens to 4 tefachim when it's more than 3 tefachim above the ground. That's how Rashi understands. Tosla says that if the narrow part of the amud is very, very narrow, like a reed, then it would be exactly the same issue of a basket, and you'd have gedi and boken tachtav, you'd be able to, animals would be able to walk right through, so you would never be able to say good achas. And that's why Tosfos quotes from the Ri, when it says that it's 3 tefachim, it means that the actual thickness of the pole in its narrowest point is 3 tefachim. So the point is that if you make these imaginary walls of good achas, a gedi won't be able to walk right through it because there's not much space over there, since at its narrowest point it's still 3 tefachim. And we said, so the Braisa continues, v'zarak v'nachal gabav, if you throw something and it lands on top of that post, chayiv, that's like throwing something from Rosh Hasharam to Rosh Hasiyachid, even though the bottom part of the post is not 4 tefachim wide. So how does that work? Why is it Rosh Hasiyachid? Alma, I mean, good achas mechitzasa. So apparently we applied the principle of good achas mechitzasa, and that's why it works. So hachanami over here, also we could say by the boat, good achas mechitzasa, we should consider the walls of the boat as if they go down to the floor of the sea, and they're makif the entire area around them. So it actually becomes a Rosh Siyachid. Says Mara, wait a second. Midi Iria, you can compare those two cases. Hasam havile mechitza shegedim bokimba. When you have the basket on top of a pole, you know why it's a problem. You know why we don't say gurachas mechitzasa. That's because animals can walk right underneath it. So how can you say that there are imaginary walls there if you're watching animals just walk right past it as if they're penetrating right through the wall? So obviously such a wall can't be considered a real wall. But hacha by the svina, it's a mechitza that gedim do not walk underneath, because gedim don't live in the sea, so nothing penetrates those walls. So too, when you have a pillar that's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim that narrows a little bit at the bottom, we'd say gurachas mechitza as long as you don't have a situation of gedim bokimba, as gedim being able to pass through it. So amar le ravacha b'reid ravacha le rav ashi, rav acha the son of rav acha said to rav ashi, some say no, it's b'reid rava, why would he be named after his father? It was never the minhag to name somebody after his father. You name somebody after the grandfather, even when they named after living people, they didn't name after themselves. You didn't have like John and John Jr. and John the Third. They didn't. By Yidden, we never had such a thing. So it was always after a grandfather. So it must be Braid the Rava. So anyways, Rav Acha Braid, somebody said to Rav Ashi, Gabe Svina Nami Ha'ika B'Kias Dagim. What do you mean nothing goes through the imaginary walls by the boat? Yeah, on land, you see very clearly the animals could walk right through those imaginary walls. And if you go down to put on scuba gear and go down into the ocean, you'll also see there are fish that have no problem swimming right underneath the boat or going right through those mechitzos. So why are the mechitzos of the boat any better than the mechitzos of the traskel, than the mechitzos of the basket? Now, fish going through an area, that's not called bekiah. That's not called, so because what's the whole problem with bekiah's kediyim is that you can't call it a mechitzo when it's so obvious, when anyone who's looking can easily see that this wall is being penetrated constantly. No one can easily see that by the boat. You'd have to actually put on scuba gear to see that. So Bekiyas Dagim is not called Bekiyah for that reason. And how do I know that that's true? Because Rabbi Tavla asked the Shaila from Ravin, Mechitza Tluya, Mao Shatatir B'churva. Is a Mechitza Tluya going to help to be metaltel within a churva? Well, lav dafka churva. We just say a churva because where else would you have a Mechitza Tluya? Mechitza Tluya means that the wall doesn't go all the way to the floor. So a churva is a dilapidated ruin. So, okay, the walls are half broken. So that's why you have a Mechitza Tluya. But it could be anywhere. How do I know that a Mechitza Tluya is mati, that it's a valid Mechitza? So Amalei, Ein Mechitza Tluya Materas, Ela B'mayim. It's not. It's only a valid Mechitza when it comes to Mayim. It's not a valid Mechitza anywhere else. Kalhu Sheikilu Chacham B'mayim. This is a special kula that the Chacham made by Mayim. Amai, but why is a Mechitza Tluya considered a Mechitza when it comes to Mayim? Hayika Bekiyas Dagim. After all, don't fish go right through those Mechitzos? El Shramino Bekiyas Dagim. It must be that Bekiyas Dagim doesn't count. And that's why. How did we start this whole sugya? We were talking about how to bring water up from the river into your boat. So what did we say? That according to one opinion, you just need a hecker. But according to the other opinion, you need to actually make Mechitzos. How do you make Mechitzos? You're going to take mechitzos that surround the area 4x4 tachim and push it all the way down to the floor of the ocean? No, of course not. They're just 10 tefachim high and they're right off the side of the boat, and we view it as if it goes straight down all the way to the floor of the ocean, even though it doesn't. That's a mechitza tluya. It's a special kula that we have only by mayim to allow a mechitza tluya. Problem is, in Maseches Sukkah, Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, there is a machlokas about a mechitza tluya when it comes to a sukkah. The Chacham holds that a mechitza tluya does not work for a sukkah, but Rabbi Yossi holds a mechitza tluya does work for a sukkah. So the Ra'ah over here points out that you have to say, according to Rabbi Yossi, that which we say mechitza tluya is only special heter by mayim, that means within the world of Hilchah Shabbos. But outside of Hilchah Shabbos, mechitza tluya can work even not by mayim. The Ritva, the Ritva says the same idea, that you have to say that our sugya can even hold like Rabbi Yossi, and then a mechitza tluya, the limitation of a mechitza tluya dafka working by mayim is specifically in Hilchah Shabbos. However, the Meiri disagrees. He says, no, you see from our sugya against Rabbi Yossi that Allah is not like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi allows a mechitza tluya by a sukkah, but our Gemara, which is the primary sugya of mechitza tluya, says explicitly mechitza tluya is only a special kula we have by mayim. Why would they make a special kula just for mayim? So the Rashi explains they had to, because Miloy Hamayim, to fill water in from the river, is something that's very, very common, and it was just such a basic human necessity that so many people had that they were, meaning obviously on a Daraisa level it's fine. So the Chacham were willing to be Mekil even on a Darabanan level for something that's such a great, great need. Okay, Sfinos Kshuros. Then moving on to the next topic. The Mishnah had said that if you have two boats that are tied together, you're allowed to carry from one boat to the other, but if they're not tied together, and they can veer from each other, then you're not allowed to be metaltel from one to the other. Says Mar Pshita. Obviously, if they're tied together, you're allowed to be metaltel from one to the other. It's all Rosh Hashayachid. What would be the issue? What would be the hava mina to say otherwise? So Maravelo Nitzricha, Ella Hatir Bitzis Shebenehen. Now, even if there's a tiny little boat that's in between these two larger boats, you're allowed to carry via that smaller boat, and we're not choshesh that smaller boat is gonna come out from between them, and that you're going to end up carrying through the airspace of the Yam, which has the status of a caramelis, from one boat to the other. So I'm like, Rav Safra said to Rava, Moshe, shapir kamrit. So he says that what the different ways of reading this, the way Rashi reads this is, you're the Gadol Adar, just like Moshe Rabbeinu was the Gadol Adar. So are you saying something proper? Meaning the way that Yehuda understands Rashi is, if it was someone else that was saying such a chiddush, I'd get it. But you're the Gadol Adar. How could you say something so incorrect? As the Gadol Adar, you're Rava. How could you say something so incorrect? Mitaltum izuluzu. The Mishnah says that you're metalta from one Svina to the other. It doesn't mention anything about some other small boat in between. So you're going to tell me the whole Chiddush of our Mishnah is that you're allowed to be metalta from one boat to the other because there's another, and the Chiddush is, even though there's another small boat in between, the Mishnah should have mentioned something about a small boat, if that's what it actually meant. And therefore, your Chiddush is incorrect, and we have to suggest a different teretz as to what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is. Before we suggest that different teretz, it is interesting to note that this is not the only place in Shas where that expression comes up, that Moshe Shapir Kamer comes up. It comes up in Maseches Beitza Dav Lamed Chesed Beis, and over there Rashi says it's a Lashon Shvua. B'yakro Shel Moshe, by the preciousness of Moshe, I swear that what I'm about to say, my taina on you is true, and your statement is incorrect. So very different. Over here it's saying in a much more respectful way that you're the God of Ador, and therefore how could you be incorrect? They both mean the same thing, that you're incorrect and I'm correct. But still, over here it's saying you're the God of Ador. Over there it's saying, I swear by the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu that you're totally wrong, that you're totally off base. Over here, so Nadav Yehuda explains that the reason Rashi changes the Pshat from over here to Maseches Beitza is based on who he's talking to. So he says, over here, he's talking to Rava. So therefore, he has to say Moshe, because he was the Gadol Adar, like Moshe Bedoro. But in Beitza, Rav Safra was talking to Rav Oshia, and not Rav Oshia, the first Rav Oshia, who was in the days of Rabbi Chia. The later Rav Oshia, who was in the days of Abaye and Rava, and therefore he didn't call him the Gadol Adar, because he wasn't the Gadol Adar. So he said it Balashon Shvua, because he didn't have quite that same level of respect for Rav Oshia that he had for Rava. That's the idea of referring to Dar Samech, as similar, he talks about how the expression Moshe Shapir Kamrit, the idea of referring to a Gadol Adar by the shame Moshe Rabbeinu, even though one of our Yikarei Amuna is that Lo Kambi Yisrael Kamosha Ode, that we're not going to have another Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. His level of Nevuah was entirely unique. So the Ar Sameach writes in Hilchos Tshuva that based on what the Mekubalim say, that in every generation there is someone that has the nitzotz of Moshe Rabbeinu. There are people that have the tzaddikim have a nitzotz of Moshe Rabbeinu. So when they talk to a tzaddik, you would use that expression and refer to them as Moshe, that they're in some sense like a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu. They also learn from there's a fascinating tshuva in Rav Menashe Klein in the Mishnah Halachos in Chelek Zayin Simen Kufn and Dalet. Someone asked him, Rebbe asked him, he was trying to figure out how to pay proper attention to all the Talmidim, to all the children, while they were learning. Because when he's teaching, he's so busy focusing on the material that he's teaching, it's very hard to see what each boy is doing, and those boys that need extra help and, you know, an understanding, to actually pay attention to them. So in some schools they have assistant teachers and things like this to help out the boys. But this guy had a chat. He was going to record the entire lesson, he'd play it on a recorder, and then he'd go around the room as he was teaching from the recorder, and he would help the children learn. It was a brilliant idea. So Menashe Klein says, nothing doing. That's not how Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. And in every generation, the Rebbeim have to be a nitzot of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu is panim el panim. It has to be face to face. So you can't teach Torah that way. The Torah has to be taught dafka in the way that Moshe Rabbeinu taught. An interesting perspective. Okay, so now we need another answer. So the Gemara says, so what is the chiddush of our Mishnah that you're allowed to carry from one boat to the other? Ella am Rav Safra lo nitzricha, no, what we're saying in our Mishnah is that even if you have two boats that belong to two different people, so to carry from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah, you need an Eruv Chatzeros normally to carry from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah. And then through that Eruv Chatzeros, you'll be able to be metaltel from one boat to the other. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, that even by two boats that belong to two people, in order to be metaltel, you need an Eruv. And we learned this Beferish and Abraisa, that an Eruv works between two boats. Sfinos Kshura Zubazu, if you have boats that are tied to each other, Ma'arvin Umetaltl Mizulazu, you can make an Eruv Chatzeros and therefore carry from one boat to the other. Nifsiku Nesru, if the connection snaps, then they become Aser. Chazru V'nikshru, if it becomes tied back together. Bein Shogin, whether that happens that you didn't know that it was Shabbos, so you tied it back together. Bein Mezidin, or you knew it was Shabbos and you tied it anyway. Bein Anusin, or whether it was a total anus, bein mutayin, or you were tying something else and you by accident tied the boats together. See, even though the boats were tied back together, be'isser, chazu, that teren arishon, it becomes mutter again to carry from one to the other. And similarly, v'chein machzalos haprusos, if you have mechitzos that are hanging, mats in a Rosh Hasharabim, so ma'arvin, metaltel, mizulazu, so you now have sectioned off areas that are now separate Rosh Hashayachid, because you have these hanging mats lacks these mechitzos, you're allowed to make an Erev and be metalta from one to the other. Niglalu, if you roll up those mats and now your mechitzos are gone, Nesu, so then the whole area becomes Asa because it's back into being a Rosh Hashrabim. Chazru v'nifrasu, if you spread them out again, Bein Shogin, Bein Mezidin, Bein Anusin, Bein Mutin, I don't care how it got there, I don't care how you spread them out again, and what kind of Isser was violated in doing so, and certainly making mechitzos is an Isser. See, by tying the boats, it's obvious what the Isser is. The Isser is kosher. When it comes to making mechitzos, so if the mechitzos have a kavius to them, and you want them to stay for a while, then it's an Isser of bona, which is also one of the Lamatas Malachos, and that's an Isser Midar Raisa. If making a mechitzas harai is going to be mutter, but if you do it to be matir and Isser, like being matir tiltal, that's going to be Asr Midrabanan. So making mechitzos can also be Asr, even if they're only mechitzos harai, if you're doing it to be matir tiltal. But still, once those mechitzos are made, we don't ask any questions. Chazru le'ater in Arishon. The first heter returns, shekal mechitzah shenasa b'shabbos, v'yom shogim me'mezid, shema mechitzah. However mechitzah gets made, any mechitzah that's made on Shabbos is considered to be a real mechitzah. So now the Brice has said that mechitzos that are made on Shabbos are called mechitzos, even with regard to carrying within them. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, Eini, is that true? That if the boats are tied together on Shabbos, they go back to the original heter, even though you violate an Isser in tying them? V'am Rav Nachman lo shanu elo lizrok. Didn't Rav Nachman say about this Brisa that the mechitzah that's made on Shabbos is only good enough to allow zrika, that the place that is surrounded by mechitzos on Shabbos and is now considered Rosh Hashanah, that you're allowed to throw from there to Rosh Hashanah Harabim, or that you're going to be chayiv if you throw from there to Rosh Hashanah Harabim, or vice versa. Aval etalto, but to carry four amos within a place that's surrounded by mechitzos, aser. The Rabbanan are still going to say it's aser. So lechor, the same should be true by the boats, that if they get tied back together on Shabbos, the tying should not allow being metaltal in between them. Zrika, you want to be matir zrika, that's a separate story. But to be metaltal between them, Rav Nachman said absolutely not if they were tied back together on Shabbos. So says Rav Nachman, amazed it, Mar. Rav Nachman was talking about a special knas they made for someone who did the kshira b'mezid, who tied the boats back together b'mezid. So that's where he says, okay, we're not going to, if you did it b'mezid, you violated Shabbos b'mezid, we're not going to allow you to go back to an absolute heter tiltal. But if it was done b'shogeg, then we taka would allow it. Amar Shmuel, v'afilu kshuras b'chut ha-sarbal. Then Shmuel said, it doesn't matter what type of rope you use to tie them together, even if it's a very, very narrow rope, the boats are considered to be held together. So says Mar Hechidami, what exactly is the Metzias Shmuel is dealing with? If the rope is strong enough to hold the boats together, then of course it's considered connected. And if the rope is not strong enough to hold the boats together, so then they're not connected. So what does that mean? You have a dental floss holding the boats together. Obviously it's not going to work, so it's not going to be considered a real connection. Says Mar Liolam Diyachalamidan. No, we're talking about rope that's strong enough to hold the boats together, but Shmuel's Chiddush is that that's good enough. You don't need to use chains. Why? Because in a different context, Shmuel said that only chains would work. In what context? Shmuel was coming to be memayit something he said somewhere else, where he said that it specifically refers to a boat that's tied down with chains. Ditnan, a Mishnah Mesechus Alos, in the 8th parak of Mesechus Alos, kshara b'davar ma'amida. If you tie a boat with something that will hold the boat very tightly in place, maybe la tuma, then it's going to be mevi tuma. What does that mean? It's going to be mevi tuma. So the way Rashi learns, big machlokes rishonim, the way Rashi learns is that if one of the ends of the chain is tied to the boat and the other end of the chain is in an ohel ames, so the chain itself becomes navi avos hatuma, like a mace itself, because of the principle of cherev hareu kechalol, that a metal object that's in contact with a mace becomes an avi avos hatuma, and therefore the boat that touches that chain becomes an av hatuma, and it has the capacity to transmit tuma to the kelim that are in that boat, which now become a rishon l'tuma. But b'davar shein ma'amida, ein mevi l'tuma. But if you tie the boat with something that is not going to hold it very tightly, meaning you don't tie it with a chain, and even though the boat is touching the same item, the same rope that is in an ohel ames, the kelim in the boat are not going to become tame. V'amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, b'hu shekshur b'shalshal shal barzel, that in that context, it's not about how tightly the boat is being held in place. No, in that context, it's about that you're using metal, because it's all based on cherev harei u'kechalal. So it's only if you use a shalshal shal barzel that we say that the shalshal shal barzel is going to become an avi avos Kol Satuma, and therefore the boat will be an Avatuma, and therefore the Kelim in the boat will be a Rishon L'Tumah. L'Nin Tumah U'Dechsiv B'Chalal Cherev, because by Tumah it says B'Chalal Cherev, the Pasuk says O'Bemeis, O'Be'etzam Adam O'Bekevri Yitma Shavis Yamim. So we compare Chalal, which is a mace, to a Cherev. So Cherev Harei U'Kechalal. The Cherev that touches a mace is like the mace itself, is like the Chalal itself. So in, that's where we're going to say that it needs to be Shal Shelah Shal Barzel that's holding the boat. Aval L'Inyan Shabbos, but when it comes to Hilcha Shabbos, all we need over here is that the boats will be held together. So it doesn't have to be an iron chain. Even as long as it's able to be held together, I don't care what the string is made out of. It doesn't have to be made out of metal. This principle of cheref hareu kechalal is a discussion at the beginning of Maseches Baba Kama, where the Toldosei and Kiyotzi Ben, that here in the laws of Tumah, it seems that you do have Toldosei and Kiyotzi Ben, that normally in the laws of Tumah, when Tumah is transmitted to something else, it goes down a madrega. But over here, cheref hareu kechalal seems to be an exception to that rule. Although cheref hareu kechal is also not exactly kayotze ben, because a cheref hareu kechal cannot create another cheref hareu kechal. It cannot turn another piece of metal into an avievo satuma, so it lacks the full capacity of transmission of tuma that a mace itself would have, because a mace can turn something into a cheref hareu kechal. All of that was Shitas Rashi. Tosos has a number of very critical questions on Rashi, and therefore a couple of alternate explanations of this Gemara, but we are out of time. So let's tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the top of Daf, Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. Have a great day, everybody.